chapter 1, the last verse, 31, says this. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Now, once you get the impression, God has completed creation now. He's created everything. And he takes a look at it, and he steps back, and he looks it all over, and a big smile comes onto his face, and he says, wow, this is good. This is very good. And that's how God wants us to look at the Sabbath, as a terrific, enjoyable day. This is the foundation, Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 31, and the next verse, chapter 2, verse 1, goes on to say this. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And I want you to think about this vast array. So we got mountains, we got oceans, we got canyons, we've got space, and we've got planets, and we've got animals of every kind. Imagine visiting every zoo in the world and having the opportunity to be able to see all of these beautiful animals. And then you've got mankind of every race and every color and every size and every personality. And you look at all of these spectacular things that God has made. You cannot help but be pleased and excited and thrilled about it. And that's what God wants us to do on the Lord's Day, is to sit back and just think about all that's been accomplished, all that God has done, who he is, what he's all about, what he's done for you, what he's done in this world, how he has created these things. And God wants us to thoroughly enjoy it. Now, chapter 1, verse 31, chapter 2, verse 1. Now listen to chapter 2, verse 2. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. Two words, blessed and made it holy. I'm going to talk about those two words for a minute. First, let's talk about making it holy. The word holy means separated. That's what it means. If you go to the Hebrew and you find the root, it's to cut and make it separate. Reminds me of when my dear wife Doris makes one of our special heritage family things called Hungarian nut roll. She rolls this up and it's filled with nuts and sugar, and it is delicious. And it's like cinder, it's about this long. And if we have a lot of company coming, because we do it over the holidays, what she might do for me is she might cut off a special section for me and put it aside. And the family comes and the guests come and eat up all the rest. Guess what? I've got a special section set aside just for me, her beloved. And I thoroughly enjoy it. And that's exactly what God wants you to do with the Sabbath. He has set it aside as a special day, a unique day, a day unlike the rest, not like the rest, a special, separate day. He sets it aside, and he gives it to his beloved, and he says, beloved, this day is for you. Enjoy it. And that's what God wants us to do. And the second word in this verse says, and he blessed it. Now, I want you to think about that. He blessed it. What's it mean to bless something? Well, to bless something means to enhance it, enrich it, to improve it, to increase it, to make it more beautiful. That's what it means to bless something. When God blessed the land, Israel went in to the land, and it now became the land of milk and honey, because God's blessing was on it. And this barren wilderness became a land flourishing with trees and olive trees and grapevines and cattle and sheep on all the hills. Because why? God blessed the land. God blessed the people. And because God blessed the people, when he came to them, they were a bunch of slaves in bondage for 400 years. And God blessed this people because God blessed this people, that means he enriched this people. And because he blessed them, this nation of slaves become the greatest nation in the world, the richest nation in the world, most glorified nation in the world. The nation of Israel under David and Solomon, there was nothing like them. The blessing of God was all over them. People all over the world came to see the presence of God and the glory of God in this nation because God blessed it. And ladies and gentlemen, he did the same thing with the Sabbath. He blessed it. He blessed it to be a day of enrichment, to be a day of God's greater blessing, to be a day where if you observe it, you'll see more things happen in your life than without observing it. That if you were to take 7 days and you say, this is a Sabbath, then you look at these days and what happens on the Sabbath will be greater. It will be more blessing. It will add greater blessing to your life on this day if you honor it. It's what God has done to the seventh day. And so if you've got this idea that the Sabbath is to be a day you can't do this and can't do that, and you can't go here and can't go there and slap your hand and you know, sit on your hands, you've missed the point. That is not what God had in mind. It's a day to be blessed. And the third thing that I observe in this is this. Now, some people have read the New Testament, and they've concluded the following, that all other 9 of the commandments are in the New Testament, but not the Sabbath. And they've concluded that, well, he said, do not kill. He elaborates on that about getting angry with people and do not covet, and he talks about being contented. So it's like all the other 9 commandments are kind of spelled out, explained, and fulfilled in the New Testament, but not the Sabbath. Doesn't say anything about the Sabbath. These people say, to which I and other people respond, man, you must read the New Testament with your eyes closed. Because the way I see it, he actually says more about the Sabbath than all the others together. There are 37 verses in the New Testament talking about the Sabbath. Let me give you one illustration. Passage that you know, just listen to the Sabbath. At that time, this is Matthew chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And his disciples were hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and to eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. Jesus answered them, haven't you read David? When he and his companions were hungry, he entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath, and yet they're innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Going on from that place, he went into the synagogue now, still Sabbath. So he enters the temple and enters the synagogue. And a man was there with a shriveled hand, looking for a reason to bring charge against Jesus. They ask him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He said to them, if any of you has a sheep that falls in a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched out his hand, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill him. So it seems to me that the New Testament says an awful lot about the Sabbath. And these Pharisees and say they were confused and they were mixed up and they distorted and they couldn't hear the voice of God. They couldn't obey the voice of God. They took the Sabbath and they made it higher than God himself. They made an idol out of it. And they were all mixed up. And so the New Testament really gives us lots of teaching. And I'd like to give a summary of the New Testament teaching now in our time remaining about the Sabbath. And the first is this. The New Testament, I'm going to give you 5 or 6 points. The New Testament changes the last day of the week to the first day of the week. In the New Testament, the last day, Sabbath, was changed to the first day, Sunday. So the apostles and the disciples of Jesus began to make Sunday the focus day of worship during the course of the week. And the reason for this is because in the Old Testament, under the Jewish economy, after God created everything, he rested. In the New Testament, after Jesus recreated everything and restored mankind back to God, he rose on the first day of the week. And so that became the day of celebration and collective worship of the Lord. Now today, you will find in places, you will find Jewish people who have come to faith in Christ. And they worship on the Saturday because that's their culture. And you know what? That's fine. If they exalt Jesus, worship on Saturday. You may know a couple groups that kind of join them. The Seventh-day Adventists joined them. The Seventh-day Baptists joined them. If they want to worship on Saturday, fine. Just exalt Jesus. But from the New Testament on, the church has always predominantly served Christ collectively in worship and gathered on the first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection day. Now, for those of you who are taking notes, here are some verses that you want to write down, because these are 3 verses that make it very clear. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, they came together on the Lord's day. They came together first day. They came together and they celebrated communion as we're going to do. Write down 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Paul is going to the church and he's saying, now I'm going to take a collection. Now what I want you to do before I get there, I want you on the first day of the week, set aside your collection. And when I get to you, we'll just pick it because you've already got it collected. Now what you're going to do is the same thing I told them to do in this church on the first day of the week, and them, and it becomes a pattern. And John, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, you'll see that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Lord's day was a phrase that they used to establish Sunday. So, you want to worship on Saturday? Exalt Jesus. That's okay. But the way that's laid out in the New Testament, most of the church follows, is Sunday. Now, there's a third option, and here it is. Write this down if you like. It's Romans chapter 14, verse 5. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in their own mind. And he who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Verse 10, don't judge one another in these matters. So, I get a text this morning, irony. Nate Rashawn texts me, and Nate says, Pastor, I've got to make preparation for 2 funerals today. I got to make arrangements this morning for 2 funerals, so I won't be at church. He says, how's that a bit of irony for you preaching on Sunday, the Sabbath day? I thought that was pretty good. Bless Nate. There are people whose jobs and life circumstances make it impossible. You know what? The Sabbath was no rest day for Jesus. For me, it's not much of a rest day either, although I get some rest now, that no evening service. most pastors don't, and they take Monday. I don't. I take Saturday. So if reasons do not permit that you're able to do it on Sunday, you have God's permission to do another day of the week. Just exalt Jesus. Now let me get some more details about this, and I'll go quick. That's your option. Number two, and then there was evening, and then there was morning, and then there was another day. So a day is 24 hours. The Hebrew word is yom, Y-O-M. Yom means day. When it uses that word, almost exclusively through the Bible, talks about a 24-hour period. So listen, what is a Sabbath? A 24-hour period. Now, some of us, we got so busy in life, you know, we managed on a Sunday, you know, to give a few hours in the morning to the Lord, and that's it. And if you want to skimp on the Sabbath and squeeze it down into a few hours, you can do that to your own detriment. God is asking, if you listen to me, God is asking of you for 24 hours in a week period. That's what God's asking of you. He's asking if you observe a Sabbath and to do it over a 24-hour period. That's what a Sabbath is. Third, as you just heard me say, it is the Jewish practice that they observe their Sabbath, Saturday, sunset to sunset the next day. So it actually starts, in our context, it would start Saturday night. Let me suggest to you, that's not a bad way to start the Sabbath. Let me suggest that Saturday night you begin to think about Sunday morning. Let me suggest that Saturday night you think, you know what, I probably need a good night's sleep. I probably ought not to stay out too late. You know, it might be a good idea Saturday night if I just lay out my clothes for Sunday morning so I get up and I'm not rushed around. You know what? Maybe I'll just get up in time and I'll get a good night's sleep so I can even have breakfast and I'll be energized when I go to church. It just might be a good idea, just a suggestion, that you think about starting the Sabbath on Saturday night and put some of these practical things into it. Number four. The Sabbath. Three things are supposed to happen on the Sabbath. Three things, and listen to all of them, and all of them are important. If you exclude one, you're not doing what the Scripture lays out for us as a Sabbath. Number one is rest. The Sabbath is rest. God said rest. Let me read it again. Here's what it says. Exodus chapter 20, verse 9. Lynn read it. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. All that you want to do in a week, do it in 6 days. You work, do it in 6 days. But on the seventh day, it's a Sabbath to the Lord, your God. On it, you shall not do any work. No work. So 1 day a week, don't work. One 24-hour period, stop work. Find a way not to work. Rest. Catch up on your rest. Let your body rest. Is one of the key principles of the Sabbath. In fact, if you don't, what you will find out, you will not do more work in 7 days than you do six. That won't happen. You think so? Logically, it makes sense, but it will not happen. If you take 1 day in seven and you set it apart, and this is for the Lord, and this is to glorify the Lord, you will find out you accomplish more in 6 days than you do if you work 7 days. That is the law of God, and that you will find to be true. Second thing we do besides rest is we worship God. God sat back and he admired his own creation and gave praise to himself. Jesus' pattern in the New Testament, you follow it, study, you'll find out every day, the Bible says it was his habit, it was his custom, it was his practice to go to the Sabbath synagogue. That was his practice. It was worship. It was Paul's practice until they threw him out of the synagogue, and then he met with Gentiles and started worshiping on Sunday. And it's been a practice of the church ever since. So worship. Let me give you quickly the four elements of worship. Number one is Bible study. Bible, study your Bible. And this time, study. Read about it. Find out about God. Learn everything you can about God. Life is crazy. Life is busy. 6 days are hard. Take Sunday, take a day, take this day, and make sure you study the Bible. And let me recommend two outstanding Sunday school classes we have for adults right now. No, I think three. And every one of these classes are Bible-centered. They want you to know the Bible and read the Bible, understand the Bible, go through the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. Excellent thing to do. Number one, study the Bible. Number two, sit under preaching. And now listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, quote, God was pleased that through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Preaching is, has been, always will be God's primary method of extending the gospel. It was so in the Old Testament, the prophets proclaimed it. It was so in the New Testament. The day of Pentecost, all of a sudden, Peter stands up and he starts proclaiming the word. And it's been through the ages, and you know great preachers. You've been blessed by them. You can remember some of them. You listen to them on the radio. Sit under preaching. Number three, for the Lord's Day. A third thing is Christian fellowship. The Bible says, quote, encourage one another. The Bible says, quote, pray for one another. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens. The Bible says, love one another. And dozens of other things that are mutually responsible for Christian to Christian to Christian to Christian. God is the head. We are the body. And we work together and function together. And the hand really works with the arm. And the arm works with the elbow and with the shoulder. And we work together. That's one thing you should do, is to be a part of the body of Christ. Find a place of fellowship. Be a part of the fellowship. And number four, serve. Serve. We have a world. God's given you spiritual gifts. Our job is to serve. As a church, we're supposed to serve. We're supposed to represent Christ. We're supposed to serve. Now, you have a spiritual gift if you're a Christian. You have probably more than one spiritual. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Now, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, the elders of this church are having a spiritual gift class. And in this class, they're going to help you figure out what your spiritual gift is. Now, if you want to go to that class, take the yellow card out, put your name on it, and just put spiritual gifts, and we'll contact you. That class isn't formally completely organized yet, but it's in process. And you have a gift, and so use it. So, physical rest, worship, and third, and listen, this is going to be the newest one to you. Something you probably haven't heard much of, but the Lord's Day is a day of mental and emotional refreshing. Now, how many of you have ever been mentally worn out, emotionally worn out, exhausted, like a rag thrown in a corner? Done. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. Let me catch my wits. God wants us to be revived emotionally and psychologically as well on this day. Now, I'm going to give you the key right now how to do that. You ready? You might want to take notes. Have fun. Think you can remember that? Can I break it down? You want me to break it down anymore for you? Do something you like. Do something you enjoy. Do something that someone's not telling you got to do. Just do something you want to do. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. It is really sad. It's really unfortunate that we come to the Lord's Day and everything's taboo. Nothing's fun. You're so concerned about what you can't do. Why don't you do something you like to do? Why don't you have some fun? Fun, delight, relaxation, pleasure, enjoyment, happiness, gratification, laughter. This is what God wants on the Lord's Day. Let me give you some examples in case I need to break it down some more. How about read a good book? If you like to read, why don't you just read a good book? How about go for a drive? You like to go for a drive, just why don't you go for a drive? You like to watch a good movie? Watch a good movie. You like to watch a football game? Guys, watch a football game, but remember, if you take 3 hours away from your wife, you got to give her a chance to do her 3 hours. Less of Bowser's, you could do it together, right? Yes. Play a game. Take a nap. Take a walk. Listen, ladies. Drop your diet for 24 hours. You want to eat chocolate on Sunday? Eat chocolate on Sunday. You want to make a cake and have a piece on Sunday? Make a cake and have a piece. 24 hours. Why don't you just let it go? Why don't you just relax? Why don't you just have fun on that day? And you will find that these things will mentally and emotionally revive and refresh in you. Once upon a time, there was a poor man who took a walk and he found a goose. So he brought the goose home with him and he put it in his barn. The next morning, he was out to check on the goose and whoa! Lo and behold, the goose laid a golden egg. Oh, he took the golden egg into the market and he sold it and he paid off some of his bills. The next day he goes to check on his goose, and can you believe it? Second day, another golden egg, and he took the golden egg and went and paid off the rest of his bills. He went to check on the goose the third day, another golden egg. And the fourth day, another golden egg. And the fifth day, another golden egg, and the man became rich from all of these golden eggs the goose was laying. Well, the man got to thinking to himself, well, his stomach must be full of golden eggs. So, I'll just cut his stomach open and take all the golden eggs at once. So he cuts the goose's stomach open and he, to his dismay, finds no golden eggs. And he also discovered that he killed the goose. And this is the Sabbath. God's given us a goose that lays a golden egg. And on the Sabbath, if we will set aside 24 hours, if we will worship God, if we will trust Him, if we will do things, we will find it to bring great blessing to our life. But we think, no, there's got to be a better way. And so I'm just going to have to work all these 7 days. If I can work 6 days and make this much, if I can add one more day, I can make more and things will be better. And we end up killing the goose and losing the golden eggs. God has given us, ladies and gentlemen, He's given us a golden egg. And that is, every week, God gives us another golden egg to take and to treasure. And if you will observe it, and you will obey it, and you will put trust in God, I know it's hard to stop for 24 hours, but trust God, you'll find the goose still lives and the goose still lays golden eggs. Lord Jesus, I pray that You will take Your word and we will trust You, God. This world is so busy. We just can't stop. But God, by Your power, we can. If we choose to, we will. And if we do, You will bless. And I pray, Father, You'll teach us how to love that day and worship that day and serve You and do the things, Father, You've told us to do and have a glorious time. And we'll see the blessings and we'll give You all the praise and the glory. So, Father, I pray that You'll take what was said today, You'll apply it to each one of our lives, and we'll see Your blessing as we trust You and as we obey You. In Jesus' name, amen.